Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the third podcast coming to you from Gulf Coast to Space Coast. I am here with my branch manager, a beautiful smile on his face, Mike Getz, and my partner in crime, Josh Corbin.
And don't forget Byron, engineer.
Byron is sitting back doing his thing. He's keeping us in check. So, gentlemen, how you guys doing?
I'm good.
I'm doing good.
Fantastic, fantastic. So, if, you know, I'm going to sort of pick up, you know, where we sort of left off. And some of the things, Mike, that you spoke about, Josh, some of the things you spoke about in terms of, let's say, first of all, the market, right? So if you're a real estate agent in this current market, especially if you're on the buyer side, you realize how difficult the market is. So it's going to take a lot of willpower, or really why power, in terms of why you're going to stay into this, right? Josh, you mentioned social media and some of the drawbacks that most of us have in terms of, you know, getting out there. And I even shared, you know, my feelings, right? I was all in my feelings in regards to why I really was not, all gung-ho about being on social media. So, you know, here's where I come in, right? So, you know, in terms of success, as it relates to being successful in this market on social media, it's going to take a mindset. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to first determine where your mindset is. You know, I consider myself to be, you know, analytical and philosophical by nature, right? So I have this love of wisdom, and I analyze absolutely everything, right? Even as it relates to my business. But I think we all have a philosophy, you know, and I think we need to determine what is our philosophy for success, right? So I'll be honest, my philosophy for success in regards to my position as a, you know, in this mortgage arena, and I think it doesn't matter if you're a mortgage loan originator or a real estate agent, you have to determine what your philosophy of success is. And I think we all share one thing in common in terms of service, right? In terms of service is really the key to really being successful in sales. So, and service is based upon obtaining as much knowledge as you can about the market you're in. But, I mean, what I've come to realize in regards to, you know, being success, there are certain things that get in our way. And, you know, when it comes to what is that, to me, there's just one thing that really gets in our way in terms of succeeding, and that is whether we want to accept it or not, believe it or not, it is just that, our beliefs. Our beliefs really get in the way of us succeeding at what it is we want, right? So, of course, speaking of mindset, so I think it's safe to say that we all love what we believe in and we protect what we believe in. But the question is, how many of us arrived here with one belief in mind? So what is a belief? A belief is merely the ideas of others that we've accepted as our truth. And that's what we live by. But the question is this, how often do we question what we believe in? And then the second thing is, how many of the things that do lie within our mind and subconscious mind, brain, whatever you want to call it, lie in the way of our prosperity, of our success, and lie in the way of our happiness? And that's where, like I said, I'm analytical and philosophical, and that's where I really take a deep dive, right? I take a deep dive to try to determine exactly what it is that stands in my way. What prevents me from succeeding?
Fear.
Fear.
I was going to say myself.
And so
well, that's such a big.
No. Well, and so let's, and both you guys, right? So let's talk about exactly that. Mike, you said fear.
Right.
That is the number one thing. Self. Also, it's right there. They're pretty much one and the same, because what we don't like when Josh said self, right? So let's talk about, you know, and we'll get to fear in a minute, Mike, but let's talk about self. As it relates to ourself, you know, we it's been said that our self is our biggest enemy, right? But do you realize what manufactures or what gives birth to this idea of self? Our beliefs.
Right.
Our beliefs are a direct reflection of our self-identity. So with that being said, that is where, in order to sort of diminish the self that you fear, getting back to you, Mike, you have to do away with some of the things that you believe in that create that fear.
Sure.
Right? So if you can do that, you eliminate, you know, a lot of obstacles that's in your way. Now,
so let's break it down to an example. So here's an example on fear that I've heard a lot in the past, right? And that is, let's just say, call reluctance. So, Josh, when we were talking 100%, earlier, okay, 100%, okay.
Yeah.
So when we were talking earlier, Josh relayed an experience that he had with me where I said, open up your phone.
Correct.
Okay. So I'm going to share a story that I've had with a number of newer agents.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll meet with a realtor and I'll say, oh, this is fantastic. You're doing real estate. You know, how long have you been licensed? Well, I've just been licensed, you know, 30 days. And I'm just getting my feet wet. I'm starting to understand things. I'm like, okay, great. Open up your phone. How many contacts do you have? 200. I'm like, great. How many of those people have you called to let know that you're starting a real estate career? Oh, well, yeah, I don't want to do that.
Right.
and that is
that's fear.
That is absolutely true, and that is fear, right? So and that fear stems from what? Failure, right?
Well, yeah, what if they don't they might not like me?
Okay. Right. And that's just it, right? So, you know, getting back to we talk about, myself as my biggest enemy. We even talk about the mind, right? The brain or the subconscious mind is my biggest enemy. Well, to be honest with you, the brain, subconscious mind, is not our biggest enemy. Quite frankly, it's just our biggest ally. Mm-hmm. We just don't know how to use it, so therefore it uses us.
Sure.
That's a great point.
You know, so with that being said, going back to, it being our biggest ally, our brain always has our best interest in mind, right? So think about that. If it has our best interest in mind, it has our best interest in mind, here's the question. Do you realize? So let's just say, step outside of this conversation for a second. Let's, just think about something that whatever it is that you have an interest in, that you care about, whatever, it gets a lot of your attention, right? Things that you are interested in. It's the same thing with the brain. But the brain can't distinguish the difference between if what you are giving your attention to is going to benefit you or not. So getting back to fear. If we give a tremendous amount of our attention to fear, then guess what? Our brain just automatically thinks that this is what we are interested in. So we're going to experience what it appears that we are interested in. So that is, when it comes to, truly, to me, like I said, I've taken time to sort of try to understand, what gets in my way, right? And so the bottom line is, if I fear failure, then guess what? My brain is designed to protect me. It's not going to give me happy thoughts automatically. It's not designed for that. It's designed to protect me and prevent me from experiencing what I fear. So if I fear failure, if I fear making a phone call, if I fear anything, guess what? My brain is going to protect me by preventing me from even trying that task, right?
Yep.
So it is, there's a lot that I—
So what is a tool or a technique if I'm an agent and I want to jumpstart my business and I want to—because I'm thinking about what you're saying. And Josh, do you remember that conversation we had? What was the one key word that I asked you to ask them for what?
For help.
Help.
Yes.
Help.
And none of us want to ask people for help.
No.
Why is that, Mo?
I mean, the bottom line is in terms of, help exposes a vulnerability that we don't want.
I got you.
We really don't want
somebody to know we need their help.
We just don't. Powerful.
I don't need your help.
I mean,
wrong. I need all the help I can get.
100%. Will Smith, he needs help. He's not going to ask for stop. But the thing is, there's how many people out there really need help, but they just don't ask for it, right? So, the whole taking a pause and doing all, these things are becoming more popular because, people have always had a problem with asking for help. And so, this is a part of the human experience, right? So
yeah, I love that.
The bottom line is we definitely are here to help one another, share our knowledge with one another. And this helps us grow. We have to be open to receiving help and giving it, in my opinion.
I think that one of the things that you talked about was fear, and I'm thinking about an acronym for fear. And I'm probably going to butcher it, but I think what the guy said was all fear is false evidence
appearing real.
Yes, yep. You've heard it. False
absolutely.
Evidence appearing real.
And it's the truth.
And it makes so much sense to me.
I mean, it's the reason, you know, to sort of dive a little deeper into that, you know, false evidence appearing real is because if we take time to think about what we fear is more so our imagination than reality. Right. So the things that we fear are never present. You know, we conjure it up. We think about it. But the bottom line is until we are able to redirect our attention from outside of our mind where the fear lives, we're always going to experience fear. It is an imagined bottom line is this. If the present moment does not present any real danger, then why are you fearing?
So fear can be good at times.
Oh, 100%. Right. Fear is 100%. Do not discount the fact that fear
is a survival mechanism.
100.
Okay.
And that's just it. The amygdala is something that continuously, though, we human beings, the reason why we, but the reason why we have ailments and stuff like that is because we stay in a state of fear longer than we need to be because of where our attention lives, right? So the body, in essence, sort of, you know, the cortisol that's permeating throughout the body because of where we are, because we're living in a state of fear for a long period of time, the body wasn't designed for that, right? So it's just like an animal, a gazelle. When a gazelle is in danger, fear is important. And if let's say they see that the apex predator, that lion, then guess what? This is when they activate fear. They flee. Their adrenaline is going, et cetera. But when they're no longer in fear, you know, they're back into the present moment and they're calm. We're not like that.
Right. You know, I know that you're getting ready to take a break, but when we come back, I got a question for you, okay?
All right, perfect. All right, we're going to take this break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you very much.
Agents, would you like to close with confidence? If so, close with Integrity Title and Guarantee Agency LLC, where integrity is guaranteed.
Welcome back. Back to the third podcast. We're talking about mindset, of course. I hope I'm not blowing your mind. But anyway, I think before we left, Mike had a question for me.
Well, I think Josh had something first. I was going to let him go, and then I'll.
So I talked about my answer was myself, right?
And right.
My mother-in-law loves this movie, Madea, The Diary of a Mad Black Woman. And Madea says, I can do bad all by myself.
100%.
And I think, you know, just my understandings and my growth, and actually as a relatively newer LO, I've only had my license for a few years now. And yes, Mike pointed, you couldn't see his hands, but he was pointing at me. He knows that I have call reluctance. It was a teeth pulling effort for me to call, you know, my contacts. It's even on a regular basis to reach out to agents, even agents I know. I find it very difficult to get forward, and so the self, it's that kind of combination of it is the fear, you know, I don't want to be rejected, right? I don't want someone to turn me down. My mind, I often struggle to separate that someone's not really rejecting me; they're just rejecting my offer. Right. And then that's where I think there's the balance of the self. And I think, Mo, you're absolutely right. Is as much as my mind can be my enemy, it can also be my greatest ally.
100%.
And I think that's, you know, that's what we're trying to get to is how do we make that step? Because we, you know, all of us, I mean, I only get paid by commission.
Right.
Right?
Right.
As a realtor, you only get paid by commission. All of us in this room, if we don't close deals, we're not getting paid. And so there can be a little bit of fear behind us saying, well, I gotta hustle a little harder, you know, so that I can pay my mortgage, I pay my rent, I can buy food, I can provide for my family. Right. So, you know, but that only goes for so long, that external locus of control. What we want is an internal locus of control. We want that internal why. You said that very right at the beginning of
right.
What is my why? Why am I doing this, right? So it for me, it's still – I have to wake up and I go, all right, my why of making some new connections today, as afraid as I really am, is I have a wife, I have kids, I have a home, I have animals that I'm providing for, and I have a goal and expectation that I want to provide a certain lifestyle for my family, and that's the why. And so now it's internal, and that overrides the fear that I'm...
So that's phenomenal, because what I was going to ask was, okay, the thing I want to talk about is, wow, well, we've talked about this gap between, you know, these fears, the external and the internal. And so what I was going to say is, well, how do I bridge that gap? And I think I just got my answer.
Mm.
I have to take a look at my why, what's important to me. And when I internalize that compared to whatever it is my fear is, as Josh just said, since it's internal, it will override that external mechanism that's trying to prevent me from taking action.
And that's
– what a great
but that
tool.
Is, that is almost – as I might say almost, it is. It's a bullseye, Mike, what you just said. Because, I mean, everything is about, you know, like you said, internalized, right? In essence, it's about – what we need to understand is how the, you know, what the brain picks up on. Everything. We're energy. It's not philosophy. It's physics. We are all energy, right? So it's all about that energy that we emit, that feeling, right? So in essence, you know, there's, you know, people talk about, you know, say affirmations and all this other stuff. And you can say affirmations all day long. It may or may not work. The only way it will work, if there is truly a feeling of affirmation, I mean, whatever mm-hmm. word you're saying, that you truly believe in what you are saying.
Yeah, it goes back to the belief system.
It's not the words, but it's the feeling associated with anything that you say and do.
Right.
So when you do that, what that feeling does is sends a message to the brain that you mean business now. So that's the only way the brain will change. You have to convince it by how you feel. Because it is constantly functioning off of how we feel, period.
Yep. Right.
But, which, you know, kind of links back to the two previous topics, you know, the affordability of a home, right? Mm-hmm. So if a buyer is afraid to take that step, right, I think this market will truly separate those who really want to buy a house, those who are committed to the cause of buying, you know, their goal is to buy a house.
Correct.
Right. And versus the someone who's just kicking tires.
Correct.
Right? That person who's just kind of, you got to be serious. You got to be committed. It's going to take, it could take a lot of offers.
Right.
And if, you know, I'm just trying to take this into that tangible of, you know, one, it's ourselves, but then how do we communicate the same mindset to our borrowers or our buyers, right? How to help them as they first get started. I'm sure, Mike, you've had this conversation.
Right.
Oh, I'm sure you have too, but I meet a lot of young first-time home buyers who are tired of paying rent. They're ready to start a family. They want to be their own household, whatever they're – and then they get out there in a week or two. They put in a dozen offers.
Oh, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore.
And
they are not committed.
Right there. And so that's where this conversation becomes really useful is what is it that's driving us to buy that house?
And what that's is just set. Yep. I mean, it's, you know, it's about shifting that borrower's sort of consciousness or perspective, right? It's in essence, what it's doing is like you were talking about earlier in regards to people being afraid or fearing paying above value because the market may crash. That's a genuine fear that they have. So our job is to explain to them, you know,
educate
in terms of, you know, what the likelihood of that is. If you find out, ask probing questions. If you're comparing it to 2008, let's understand why 2008 is irrelevant. I mean, you're not comparing apples to apples, right? So, but the bottom line is the goal is to getting back to feelings to change how they feel about the process. I mean, it goes back to in service, you know, and I talked about that too in regards to, you know, we're all in the sales industry, but service is more important than what we sell, so to speak, because when it's all said and done, they're not going to, you know, it's all about the service that how you made them feel through that process, right?
But I think also even more importantly, right? Yes, service is key. We have to deliver on our commitment.
Right.
But when we're having a conversation and we're educating a buyer, I think all of this culminates in the fact that fear is really based on unknown. We already said 100%. False evidence yep. appear in real. So yep. I love yep. what you said.
Yep. Yep.
When we educate and we give good, logical,
100%.
Reasonable mm-hmm. information, mm-hmm. that fear then becomes alleviated.
Yep.
Right. And then the key, though, is what I've really learned that I didn't know before, bridging the gap from external to internal. It's not just enough, okay, Maurice, Josh, or Mike explained to me, educated me, okay, but now how do I get to the point where I'm internalizing that?
That's it.
So how do I get to that point? I'm asking you. Well, how do I help that person get to that point?
Like I said, it's all about, you know, crystallizing someone's consciousness.
Oh, I love that.
If you will, right? Yeah. So it's all about there's, you know, you can say something, right? I mean, I may have even said something. I don't know. But the bottom line is you know the difference between what feels right and what feels wrong. We don't have to be taught that, in my opinion. It resonates, mm-hmm. right? So when you're sharing with someone, try to find something. You've got to listen to your client, but try to find something that you think is going to resonate with them that they're going to say, have that aha moment. It's like, okay, I get you now. And so that kind of closes that gap, right? And
oh,
so, yes. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's really, it's about communication, education, however you want to look at it. But
I like that communication. It's right about how do I communicate effectively?
Right.
Yeah. And I think that it's my social media plug. It's consistency.
No.
Right. Because
I mean, your social media. You didn't invent social media.
I did not. No. This is a plug to
you own social media?
I want you to listen to episode 2 of this conversation. The idea is that we have to be consistent with our minds because we will ebb and flow, right? We can have a bad night's sleep, or we have some physical pain, or we face a life struggle that's going to come up against us that can push us to the negative thinking, right? That can change that mindset. So that consistency, that's why those daily affirmations, that routine, that habit you're trying to create can be very useful. But Mo, just like you said, if you don't believe
100%, that's the key.
What you're telling yourself,
that's the power of belief.
Then, but there's a consistency to it because you know this market's fierce. You know, one moment you have a loan, the next moment you don't.
Right.
As quick as it come, it can go. And if you get wrapped up in that moment, I feel that sometimes we don't want to actually embrace that feeling. We want to rush through the pain, not learn from it, not grow from it,
100%.
And just shove it.
100%. We're always dodging it.
Or we get stuck in it.
It's right. So amazing to me that you just said that. One of the things that I've learned, now I'm 63 years old, and it's taken me 58 years, just in the last 5 years, I've learned how to embrace challenges. I don't run from them anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't fear them anymore.
Right.
When I'm confronted with a challenge, now it's like, okay, what am I going to learn from this? And that is one of the most life-changing things that has happened to me. I mean, it is amazing. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. I mean, we have this thing with, of course, being uncomfortable, right? So, but I think getting back to the why, right, what we need to also realize is this. If it's something that you truly, truly want, the universe is going to test you. But if it's something that you truly, truly want, there is going to be a price that you have to pay. It is that simple. However, some people abort the mission because they don't want to pay full price for what they want.
A good metaphor.
They want a discount.
As soon as we're on real estate.
They want a discount. They want a coupon. You know, is it a half off sale? No, it's not. If it's really what you want, you have to pay full price. Period.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, let's wrap it up. That's a great way to end, man.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you guys very much. Appreciate you listening to us. That's really all I have to say. Hope you got something out of it. Mike Getz, you know, I'm going to let you go ahead and say some last words. I mean.
No, I thought that was great. What'd you think, Josh?
Oh, it was good.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. And Byron, thank you for holding down the fort here. We appreciate you.
Engineer extraordinaire.
And thank you for listening to All Three Parts, brought to you by Security National Mortgage Company and Charles Ruttenberg Realty, sponsored by Integrity Title. Have a marvelous day.
See you.
This is a Charles Ruttenberg Realty podcast, from Gulf Coast to Space Coast. This podcast is sponsored by Integrity Title and Guarantee Agency, LLC, where integrity is guaranteed.